Possibly the greatest podcast ever, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The podcast poised to pick a peck of pickled peppers. He used to shoot baskets with a bowling ball. It's Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Well, hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another amazing, fantastic episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. As my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, probably told you, I am Doug Jones. I am your Medicare companion for today and maybe for the rest of the week. We'll see how it goes. I am Doug Jones, and I wrote the book Medicare for the Lazy Man. How did I get inspired to have that title on the book? I looked in the mirror one day and I thought, aha, there is a rationale that everybody can hang their hat on when it comes to Medicare, because nobody gets excited about Medicare. Very few people really want to think about Medicare or to learn about Medicare or to expend a lot of energy dealing with Medicare. And so I said, we're all lazy, those of us who don't really care that much. But I learned to care because doing good for other people became a rewarding activity for me. So what I suggest to people is that if you're looking at Medicare as an upcoming encounter, or even if you have somebody you know that is approaching Medicare, whether they're 65 or whether they're leaving their job and retiring, then learning about Medicare is an excellent pastime. And I suggest going to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com and purchasing my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. Barnes & Noble has an excellent paperback version of it with colorful illustrations. The books on sale at Amazon.com consists of four different types of books. You got your Randy's showing me right now, and just in case I forget what the name of the book is, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. He's holding up the paperback. He actually purchased two of them. I'm pretty sure he wrote a glowing review, as I would encourage all readers to do. It doesn't have to be glowing if you think it sucks. Yes, he's got a whole handful of them. My God, he went out and bought a whole bunch of them. I wondered why I hit number one on the Medicare charts. That's because Randy was, he cut loose of some cash. I'm pretty sure he's going to bill that to me though, in our monthly exchange of funds. In any event, I'm glad to see the book in his hands. I'm hoping to see it in your hands at some point. Yet, if you go to Amazon.com, you can buy the Audible version wherein the book is read to you. It's the laziest way to acquire Medicare knowledge. You can get the same knowledge from the regular paperback version or the Kindle version, the ebook. If you've got a Kindle, then you can just tap a few buttons and have it downloaded instantly to your Kindle or your e-reader. And that's like instant gratification. And it's also the least costly way to acquire all of that Medicare knowledge. Now, if you want to really act like a big spender, if you've got money to burn, if you've got, if you light your cigars with $50 bills, if you can even find $50 bills, you can get the hardcover version at Amazon.com for $24. Plus, it's so heavy and so substantial, I'm sure the shipping charges are outrageous. But that would be my choice of a Medicare for the Lazy Man version if I were going to suggest that to anyone else. So go to Amazon.com or go to BarnesandNoble.com. Purchase your book. And when you get it home, you know, make a stiff drink. And by the time you finish with it, you'll almost be finished with the book. It's a fairly easy read. It's a light, entertaining encounter with Medicare story. It's basically, it starts out with a chapter about what it's like to have illness that needs to be treated and have Medicare pay your bills for you. and it ends up with a numbers crunching excursion that'll even satisfy the most detail oriented accountant out there. So I think it's got a little something for everybody. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. Do what Randy did. Go out and buy two of them. That's an excellent idea. Speaking of Randy, he's sitting in front of a montage. It's not a montage. It's a background of a Pacific Ocean with volcanic rock sticking up out of it. Randy, tell us about that background that you're sitting in front of.
That is a view that I had off the coast of Mexico. I'm not exactly certain where it was, but it was on one of our cruises and on one of the ports of call. But as much as I love the ocean, I've never lived anywhere close to it. So as soon as I see the ocean, I'm taking pictures and pictures and pictures and pictures. And then I get home and guess what I have? I have thousands of pictures that all look the same.
It sounds like my neighbor that went to Japan. His father is a doctor in Spokane, Washington. His younger brother is I don't know what he does, some sort of techie thing. And so they wanted to run in the Tokyo Marathon a few months ago. And so the whole family went to Japan. And what I got to look at one evening during what normally would have been a happy hour was thousands of pictures of the food that they ate when they were in Japan. I've never been that enthused about sushi and all that other stuff anyway, but believe me, there is all kinds of food in Japan. None of it looks that appetizing to me, but we were treated to an hours long slideshow on the television of everything they ate. And I got to tell you, the hotel rooms in Japan are pretty damn small.
Well, you know something? I don't doubt that for a minute because I've looked, obviously, I'm a big YouTube fan.
Yeah.
I watch YouTube videos because there's really nothing of any interest on commercial television anymore.
Yeah.
And I've got cable and, 14 different thousand channels and half of it's a dupe and, mm-hmm. you know the story.
So sure.
Anyway, I was watching one night this new thing. Well, it's not a new thing, but it's called a micro hotel.
Yeah. Yep. There's a microtel, a chain of microtels.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. They've got these things that look like file drawers and they're in the airport itself.
Oh, those things in the airport. Okay.
Yeah. You go rent one of those for, I don't know, $20, whatever,
Okay. Not in the States, but in Japan.
Right. This is in Japan.
Yes. Yes.
They look like little file drawers. And I don't know how you get in the upper file drawers without stepping on somebody's head, but they, for $20, you can sit in there and watch TV and I guess get some snacks. I don't know.
Well, I read about those years ago and I didn't know they were still in business, still doing that kind of thing. But yeah, the Japanese seem to be quite comfortable in tiny confined spaces.
Yeah. I would not be my cup of tea because I don't mind confined spaces, but the idea of sleeping in a file drawer doesn't really, really suit me.
Mm. Do you remember what the old time Pullman cars used to be like before the invention of the Pullman suites?
Yes, I do. I've seen them.
So that you'd walk down an aisle and you'd have floor to ceiling curtains on each side of you. And behind those curtains would be bunk beds.
Yeah,
I do love to sleep on trains. I haven't done it since I was a little kid, but the sleeping car, accommodations that my grandparents always rented were a suite in a Pullman car, which had two bunk beds and then a double bed that folded down out of the wall. It was basically you'd fold back the wall between the two rooms and they had two different kinds of accommodations. Very spacious, very nice. I can't imagine what it was like to sleep with a bunch of snoring strangers around you the whole length of the car.
No, I would love to go on a train trip. Obviously, that. My daughter has been on several in Europe with varying levels of, fun. The problem, the very first train ride she ever went on, an overnight, and they had sleeping account. She was with several of her girlfriends. And the very first thing that happened is they got all their purses stolen at night.
Oh, boy. That's Europe. I always heard that the Turks and a few other, the gypsies and these minorities were wrecking the tourist experience in places like Rome and Paris.
Yeah.
Because they were professional thieves, and they would train them, their kids, to steal stuff, and then they would take them to those places so that they could rob stuff from the tourists.
Well, we had a situation, not on a train, but one time when we were in London, there was a particular pub. I travel by pubs. I remember.
Sure. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
I travel by pubs. So anyway, I'm in this pub. And I guess, yeah, I think it was the first time we were in this particular one. And Margaret, as she often does, hung her purse on the shoulder strap over the back of her chair.
Sure, because she's in the United States almost, where nothing ever happens.
Yeah, and so the barman, which is what they call him in Europe, as opposed to a bartender, the barman came up and tapped her on the shoulder and says, I wouldn't do that, ma'am. And she goes, why? He goes, because you're within 5 feet of the outside door, and they could come whipping in there and get that purse, and it would be gone in a moment.
Yeah, I'd like to see more stringent punishment of these thieves, these people that do stuff like that. I've got a whole thing. I do a newsletter for my local HOA, and I have a whole thing ready to go. It's in my head. All I have to do is put it down on paper about the squatters and the title fraud that is going on in some places of the country. In Arizona, they've taken stringent first steps to bring that to a screeching halt. To give the cops tools to be able to grab these people, drag them out of the home that they're illegally squatting in.
Yeah, well, obviously that would be exactly what I would want to have happen. But as you know, there's some states in the union.
Yes, yes.
Who shall remain nameless.
Yes, where the squatters are almost welcomed. They're given all of the rights and the property owner.
They can squat for years.
Yeah, it's incredible. That that kind of thing can happen in the U.S. of A., but not in Arizona if the current law is enacted, so the proposals anyway.
No, or in Texas. I don't think it happens in Texas either.
Oh, boy. Yep, and I'm pretty sure Florida has the same kind of protections for their citizens.
There's a particular comic I love to death, and they were talking about the death penalty one time, and you can argue either side of it, and he goes, yeah, in Texas? We've got an express lane. We can kill you faster.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it used to be. Yeah, and I always learned in psychology that the most sure way to stop a behavior is not so much the severity of the punishment, because a lot of people are mistaken. Well, if you make it really scary for somebody who gets caught, they'll never do that again. What it is the certainty of getting caught. It can be a fairly light punishment, but you can, if they're certain that they're going to get caught, they still won't do it. So that's a great way to change these criminals' behavior patterns. Basically, you want them out of your society. But if you have to put them to death, which used to happen an awful lot, what they would do is they used to have a trial that was very swift. And if the punishment was death, they would enact that penalty very quickly.
Right.
And I think that deterred more crime than we have going on today. There is very little deterrence of crime in a lot of areas.
Well, especially when you're, so-called death row. Now, you can argue either way, and I'm not against one way or the other. It's whatever your opinion is. But bottom line is you can manage to sit on death row for 23 years.
Absolutely, because you have to have appeal after appeal after appeal, and we can't possibly hurt your little feelings by giving you a swift punishment after your trial has been concluded. So, well, anyway, I think you and I probably agree on that, but I'm more willing to be vocal about it. You're being more diplomatic about it.
Well, I think you and I are definitely on the same side of the fence, definitely, without a doubt. So I think we can say we agree.
We agree once again.
We will have a longer discussion and more detailed discussion about that later when we meet up at the pub.
There you go. We're going to be dining and drinking together later on today. I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime, we should probably get to work here. What do you think?
Oh, do we have to?
Well, it's unfortunate that some of us have to work for a living, but yes, I think we should.
Okay. Okay. Let's go for it.
Here's a subject that I hear an awful lot about around the Jones house. The content curator is plagued with this particular problem. And so she requires fairly frequent treatment and daily ingestion of massive doses of vitamins and all kinds of stuff. It's macular degeneration. And since a lot of people are talking about macular degeneration, not just the content curator at the Jones house, I thought I ran across this article and I wondered if it might not be interesting for people. More treatment options for people with macular degeneration is the headline. New therapies and lifestyle changes can help slow the progression of age-related macular degeneration. Macular degeneration. I don't know if I've been saying it. Yeah, it's degeneration in the headline, and it's generation in the body of the text. Nearly a decade ago, Jane Burdett glanced up from a cross-stitch project and noticed the door frame suddenly looked crooked. This is what I would do if I saw a crooked door frame in my house. She called her doctor who referred her. I would call a carpenter. She called her doctor who referred her to an ophthalmologist who saw her immediately. She contacted the, Randy has a thought.
Doug would call a carpenter. This woman called a doctor. I would quit drinking.
Yeah, well, there you go. Maybe she did that too. I would not do that. Frankly, I can live with a crooked door frame if I have to. I'm not giving up the hooch. So anyway, she contacted the retina specialist who saw her the same day, diagnosed the problem, and gave her the first injection in the left eye. And the first means there must have been subsequent injections. Her diagnosis was wet age-related macular degeneration, wet AMD. In her left eye, and then dry AMD in her right. And that's what the content curator has. It's one of each she's got. So the onset of age-related macular degeneration often begins so slowly that many people may not notice symptoms until the disease progresses or affects both eyes. So this woman we've been talking about receives injections every 4 weeks, and until late 2022 when she transitioned to a therapy that extends her treatment to every 14 weeks. She also takes vitamins, and these are made for people diagnosed with moderate to advanced macular degeneration. And now in her 10th year of receiving eye injections, her wet AMD is now stable and some of her vision has actually improved. So it's a sight-threatening condition. The diagnosis of AMD affects the center of the retina. That's the macula. And that is responsible for central vision. In a healthy eye, the macula captures detailed information from the center of the visual field, and then the person can read, drive a car, recognize faces, perceive color and contrast, and see fine details. The onset of AMD often begins so slowly that many people may not notice symptoms until the disease progresses or affects both eyes. Initial vision changes can include difficulty seeing the center of vision needed for reading, cooking, or driving, trouble seeing in dim light, and straight lines, like light poles, starting to appear blurry or crooked or even missing. So, the types of AMD, the common forms of AMD are non-neovascular, and that's dry, and neovascular, which is the wet kind. Macular degeneration starts out as dry AMD, and it progresses slowly over several years. It's classified in three stages, early, intermediate, and late. An estimated 1 in 10 Americans aged 50 or older have the early form of AMD. Approximately 85% to 90% of the cases of macular degeneration are the dry type. So 85 to 90% are the dry type, while 10 to 15% are the wet type, in which abnormal blood vessels grow in the back of the eye and damage the macula. This less common late form of AMD is also called advanced neovascular AMD, usually results in faster vision loss. An estimated 1 in 10 Americans age 50 and older have the early form. I think I said that. Thank you, article. Approximately 1 out of every 100 age 50 and older have the late form. Let's see what you can do. I recommend, this specialist says, I recommend patients particularly those over 65 years of age, get a comprehensive eye exam, which can catch treatable diseases like glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic retinopathy at early stages. Part of that exam is something called a macular optical coherence tomography, OCT scan, which is an imaging test that is very sensitive at identifying even early stages of macular degeneration. In addition, lifestyle changes such as good nutrition and not smoking can help keep eyes healthy. That reminds me of the first time I went to an ophthalmologist in my adult years. After a couple of decades of being married, my wife was incredibly concerned about my lifestyle choices, mainly smoking, drinking, eating cookies, and you know, whatever else, and nothing I did was satisfactory. So she made an appointment for me at an ophthalmology practice, and that was in Wasco, Illinois. And so she dragged me out to Wasco, Illinois, and we sat in the same room, a fairly large room, and they examined my eyes and they examined her eyes. And then the ophthalmologist came in to explain the findings to us and her little plan to modify my behavior and my bad habits backfired. He said, who wants to go first? And she said, tell him, give him the bad news first. Tell him he's got to fix everything about his behavior that I don't like. And so the guy looked at me and said, you've got the slightest bit of astigmatism it's possible to measure. Go to the drugstore if you need readers. You know, you can get them right off the shelf for just a few bucks. And then he said, okay, Mrs. Jones, have you got some time? Because we got a lot to talk about here. And it turns out she's had the beginnings of all this macular degeneration. I, on the other hand, got to continue my bad habits into the future. And she had to find another way to try to talk me into cleaning up my act, which I have since done. But eating high amounts of leafy green vegetables and low amounts of saturated animal fats correlated with a low probability of macular degeneration and less severe stages of degeneration. Although we can't prove causality, we tend to recommend diets that are very high in leafy green vegetables and low in saturated animal fats. One of the largest modifiable risk factors is to quit smoking. Well, of course, I have done that. Randy has done that. Most smokers have seemed to have done it. I don't see people smoking anymore like I used to. They used to be like a herd, and we would all, hey, you want to smoke? Sure, let's all smoke. And that kind of came to an end at some point. And while I think about those days, I'm going to bow my head and say a silent prayer for those who are lucky enough to continue smoking without any ill effects. I'll be silent for just a few minutes. Maybe somebody will play some entertaining pieces of video or audio tape while I'm doing that. I'll see you shortly. All righty. I hope you enjoyed those pieces of entertaining audio, little plays. I like to think of them as little plays that people put on to entertain us for just a short period of time that make us want to buy things. Treatments for advanced dry macular degeneration. In 2023, the new treatments, and they're very difficult to pronounce, odd-looking words, or drugs of some kind. So they were approved by the FDA to treat geographical atrophy, GA, caused by macular degeneration. GA is the progressive, irreversible, advanced form of dry macular degeneration when atrophic lesions form in the outer retina. It's important to realize that these are not global treatments for all macular degeneration, but rather for only a small population of patients with advanced atrophic macular degeneration. The treatments, which are given either monthly or every other month in the form of an injection into the eye, slow the progression of macular degeneration. If all goes well, the goal is that over the years of receiving these treatments, they will still have the ability to see with the center of their retina because the progression has been reduced. Gauging the real-world impact of treatment can be challenging because there is no measurable output to know the medication is working. Patients do not see better when they get these injections. If all goes well, the goal is that over the years of receiving these treatments, they will still have the ability to see with the center of their retina because the progression has been reduced. Wet AMD can come on suddenly and insidiously. That's why we ask all patients to use some sort of home monitoring device to be able to detect vision changes at the earliest possible stages, because the sooner we identify the conversion from dry to wet and start treatment, the better the long-term vision is likely to be. Anti-VEGF agents. Oh boy. Anti-VEGF agents are used to treat the abnormal blood vessels leaking and growing and bleeding under the retina in wet AMD. Treatments such as, I'm not even going to try to pronounce all of these drugs. There are about six of them here. They're available. Treatments are available to slow the condition's progress and to preserve existing vision. It's much more important that patients receive consistent therapy rather than any particular type of therapy. Oftentimes, patients will miss visits, but the more consistently you receive the injection, the more likely you are to maintain your vision. Your doctor will set out a plan to start the injections typically every 4 weeks and then extend that by some interval based on the response. Some medications can potentially last longer in the eye relative to other medications, and the interval may be extended further relative to the first generation of medications. That can lower the number of visits and injections that somebody may ultimately have, and that's huge when it comes to the patient's satisfaction, as well as for caregivers who don't have to bring them to the office as frequently. So anyway, it appears that the quality of life can be maintained and improved. This woman that we started the article with lets her treatment lets her remain active with her community historic preservation committee. If I lost the ability to do this work, it would be a great loss to me. She encourages others to keep up with their regular eye appointments. I tell my family and friends to find a good ophthalmologist, one who keeps up with the latest research on AMD, and ask about disease and treatments now. So if it appears that quick and drastic treatment is the order of the day, if somebody ever tells you you've got macular degeneration. I, on the other hand, I put this in the pile so as not to forget to mention it, but I have a standalone vision plan for individuals and for families. It's by a company called VSP. And I like to sell this plan because it's very inexpensive and it gets people to the ophthalmologist's office or to the optometrist's office in short order. And they don't have to pay much, if anything, for the appointments, because once again, they're insured. So I recommend considering vision insurance, which is very inexpensive. And if you contact me, I'd be happy to send you a little brochure describing it. And if you want to sign up, it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. Boy, I've got very little left here in this first batch of important podcast episode content here, but I want to pick out something that's coordinated with, here's an interesting thing. We often warn people about Medicare Advantage plans. They can change in the middle of the year. You're stuck with a Medicare Advantage plan all year. If you start that plan in January or renew the plan in January, you're stuck with it for the whole year, unless you pack up and move to a different location, or have some other, you know, like a giant flood takes out your town or something like that. And so the plans themselves can change. They can gain or lose elements that are important to the insured people that have purchased that plan. And the most frequent thing that happens to disappoint the members of the plan is that their doctor that they like has been terminated. And in this case, this is a circular letter that's from WellCare, which is owned by Centene, and it's become one of the largest insurance companies with Medicare Advantage plans. And it is announcing that after careful deliberation, they will be terminating the WellCare contract with Comprehensive Cancer Center of Nevada, CCCN. This termination becomes effective in June. So they have a thing called the Silver Summit Health Plan Medicaid or Ambetter Exchange Contracts. I don't know how all these companies got into the same bag and the same trick bag, but it turns out that WellCare seems to be the one in charge They're the ones that are canceling that Cancer Center of Nevada contract. Changes to their drug coverage, the OEP, they're talking about other changes in their Medicare Advantage coverage effective January of 2025. The IRA, this is the Democrats' attempt to stifle inflation, which is not really working. The Inflation Reduction Act will cap all out-of-pocket costs for all Part D drug plan members at $2,000. Well, see, what happens here is that if you don't pay the market cost of bringing a drug to market, following all the rules, all the testing, all of the numbers crunching that has to be done when a new drug is developed, then eventually the companies that bring those drugs to market are not going to be bringing them to market anymore, and we will not have new drugs. So this will reduce out-of-pocket spending by about $7.4 billion annually in 2025, nearly $400 per person. This is what I consider to be bad news because it stifles private enterprise and it removes the profit incentive, the profit motive, which is the only reason that we have anything good in the first place. So there's a statement here that I don't really understand. It says, given what happened as a result of the first wave of changes based on that Inflation Reduction Act, it seems clear none of this will get any easier. But if you know roughly what to expect down the road, you won't feel the rush to panic. Excuse the broken record, but circle October 15th as the start of the 2024 open enrollment period on your calendar and pay attention. I don't know what that's all about. Somebody's opinion. I think it might be, you know what it is? I turned the page over and I was reading information from a prior article that was warning us about changes coming up. So you can ignore the rest of that. And frankly, you can ignore everything about the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, because I believe we're about to turn off the light and head on home. Randy, what do you think about that?
The 75-cent clock is gone. But as you know, I always save a few dimes at the end because there's some really important information that I always like to cover before we sign off. Number one is, grab a pencil. You can reach out to Doug at DBJ at MLMMailbag.com. Don't forget, he is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. I think we got some pretty cool stuff going on there. Would appreciate it if you could find a place, or if one runs across you, to drop a review on the content that we produce. The numbers are all important to us at this stage of the game. And last but not least, thank you for joining us. You could have been other places and you weren't. You were with us enjoying a few minutes of valuable information about Medicare supplement planning with Doug Jones. But if you weren't checking your watch, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug, originally from Oklahoma. No more. He's the guy that you see behind Cave Creek, Arizona, up in the high ground with his binoculars, checking to make sure that no Medicare Advantage zombies get anywhere close to Cave Creek.
And I'll tell you right now, my vision is perfect. So we'll look forward to seeing you again for our next episode. Bye-bye.